Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Insights and Publish Magazine and Broadcast, where visionaries and those on the rise come together to create immediate impact. And today I am so excited because with me I have Deborah A. Genovese. Deborah is a media specialist who prepares authors and experts to be mediagenic so they attract publicity and then dazzle the TV and radio interviews. She teaches how to communicate media messages that get heard and move audiences to action so clients sell as well as tell. From Hollywood's red carpet to the boardroom of Fortune 500 companies, Deborah has interviewed and media trained some of the world's top celebrities and executives. During a career spanning two decades as a TV reporter and nationally accredited public relations VP, Deborah has also contributed three books, including Media Magnetism. Her list of celebrity interviews is extensive, far too extensive to mention here, but includes media moguls from Dick Clark to Ice Cube, as well as President Jimmy Carter, CIA Director Leon Panetti, and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Other notables are Clint Eastwood, Michael Douglas, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Bruce Jenner, and Margaret, and the list just goes on and on. There's 100-plus others. She also enjoys working with such renowned authors as Deepak Chopra, Neil Donald Walsh, and John Gray. Corporate clients include General Electric, Sony, Nintendo, Lexus, Disney, Target, and again, the list goes on. A recovering type A perfectionist, Deborah steadily climbed the corporate ladder until a total health crash and burn forced her to reevaluate her career and get serious about acting on her lifelong dream, which was to build her own media coaching business. Grateful to be healthy and happy today, Deborah helms Communications Copilot, LLC, based in Southern California. And Deborah, thank you so much for being with us and bringing your wisdom and experience to us today.
Oh, thank you, Vicki. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, you know, I wanted to start, Deborah, if you could explain a little in more detail than your bio exactly how you came to this area of expertise as your great work and your contribution to the world.
Sure. Well, going way back, according to my mom, I guess I started talking at the age of about 6 months, and I haven't stopped since. So I guess communications was sort of a given. And, you know, when other girls were pretending to be ballerinas, I made a little anchor desk out of a cardboard refrigerator box laid on its side, and I typed up on my little play typewriter some sheets of paper like a script, and I would practice being an anchor woman. So it's no surprise that I went to school and got a degree in communications and English, and I started my career as a TV and radio reporter. And then I moved into TV production and then finally public relations. And the common thread through all of those is I was sort of the designated person at any job I was at who was the spokesperson in front of the camera but also the one who prepped others for media interviews and then helped them learn how to be more mediagenic, which is just how to attract publicity and then do a great job once they're on television or radio or even in print. So my dream, which kind of started out as a whisper and then it became a scream over the years, was that I wanted to start my own business doing that. But I got caught up in reporting and then climbing the ladder and all those PR jobs you mentioned, and the years kind of flew by until one day my body decided for me and I didn't have a choice. So in my bio you mentioned I confess that I'm a recovering type A perfectionist, and that could not be more of the truth. So much so that a few years ago, my doctor tried to admit me into the hospital because my blood pressure was so dangerously high that she felt I was on the verge of a stroke. And I actually told her no, that I could not go in the hospital because I had too many meetings planned that day. And I just, obviously I was more than a little out of control, and I had spent almost two decades just running myself ragged, totally neglecting my health. Eventually the bill came due, and shortly after that doctor's visit, I had the health crash and burn that you mentioned. I got really sick. I wasn't able to continue on the path that I was on. I was suffering with major migraines, tired all the time, just debilitating fatigue, back and neck pain, really bad stomach issues. I was 70 pounds overweight. I was a mess. I mean, it was like I was a 40-year-old in a 90-year-old's body. And actually, I know some 90-year-olds that are in better shape than I was. So I realized that I had to do something, and I just completely changed my lifestyle. I did a total revamp of my diet, my exercise, my general health. I even started to meditate. And career-wise, I knew that I wanted to create something new and something that I could design myself that made sense for me and my clients. So that's when my business, Communications Co-Pilot, was born. And as I said in my bio, I'm just happy to report that I'm healthy and happy now in a growing business. I lost those 70 pounds. I got rid of all those symptoms, and I have my life back. So it's kind of like a blessing and a dream come true.
Wow, that's just beautiful. Tell me a little bit about how you transitioned from that place of really poor health and that don't have time to save my life because I've got too many meetings, that kind of mindset. Tell me a little bit more about what that transition looked for you. What did it look like?
Well, you know, when that happened, I'm embarrassed to say that, you know, I remember actually being in the doctor's office and the doctor being very concerned. She put her hands on my shoulders and just kind of leaned down and looked me dead in the eye and said, "Deborah, how do you feel about a stroke or a heart attack? Because that's right around the corner. You've got to change what you're doing." And, you know, even though I did say, yeah, okay, well, you know, maybe we can schedule that in for 3 weeks from now because I'm really busy, it did sink in because, you know, I've seen this doctor for many years. She knows me well. And I could see the concern on her face, and I knew that I had to do something. But I'm embarrassed to say that I came home and I did not share that little bit of information with my husband, mainly because I knew he would make me go to the hospital, and I did not want to go to the hospital. And I kind of kept it in a little bit, but the urgency of my doctor's message did finally get in after more than a decade of just knowing, hey, I should not feel like this in my 30s. I am sick all the time, and it's no fun. And it started getting to be so that I couldn't hide anymore. It was getting really hard. I was missing meetings. I was literally leaving meetings to go in the bathroom and vomit because my migraines were so horrible, and then brushing my teeth quick and going back to the meeting. And that was happening frequently. And, you know, at some point, Even a stubborn Italian like me has to look at it and say, okay, this is now crazy behavior. Like, maybe I can't just power through this. Maybe there's something that I need to pay attention to here. And I had always been a fan and always have read all kinds of personal growth things by people like, you know, Deepak Chopra, who I was so fortunate to be able to do some work with, and Arielle Ford and Arielle's sister Debbie Ford and all of the folks that are in that world. Neil Donald Walsh, who did Conversations with God, and, you know, Marianne Williamson, and always read all of those kinds of things. So I knew and was kind of in touch that there was this soul side of things that wasn't syncing up. And for me, I've been very, very blessed to have wonderful relationships in my personal life. Wonderful husband. I've been married for many years now, almost, well, 19 years. Great parents, you know, really good friends. My problems were coming from work and from various personalities and people that were in my life work-wise and how I was dealing with that or not dealing with it and the kind of stress I was putting on myself. And so I decided, okay, I'm changing everything. I'm leaving the job I'm in that I have known for the whole 2 years that I've been in it is not right for me. And I'm, you know, for the last 10 years, I've known that I should be doing my own thing, and I'm just going to do it. And I took 6 months off to really just get my health straight because I was not at the point where I could really work. So for 6 months, I just relaxed. I just stopped everything. I quit my job. You know, my boss totally didn't understand it because I was doing really well and, again, climbing the ladder, you know, rising star, all that stuff. And I just said, hey, I can't do this anymore. I'm out, you know, and I just changed everything. And I sought out, even though it took me dozens of all kinds of healthcare providers: doctors, herbalists, acupuncturists, chiropractors, naturopaths, everything you can think of, before I finally got some answers on what I was doing wrong in my life and how I could fix it health-wise. And also mentally. I mean, things, making time for things like meditation. You know, I'm a New York girl. It's like, meditation. You know, that's silly. Who has time for this? I can't slow down and do this thing. This is crazy. I don't need meditation. Well, I came around to it. I found Pilates, which for me was very reflective and helped me to strengthen my body but also my mind and give me some of that downtime that I needed. And I just completely changed what I was doing, completely.
And you know what comes through really for me and really resonates with me strongly is I'm hearing that you have all of these wonderful people around you, and you always have, and yet you were in a very isolated state when you were unhealthy, both physically and mentally, from the way you were driving yourself. And
that's
when you
very
shift,
true.
Yeah. When you shifted, you opened up to not only new ideas and way of doing things, but also the ability to really open up to all of these wonderful resources and people you have around you.
Yes, you're exactly right. And, you know, I think what happened is that early on in my career, I had some very damaging and, you know, kind of scarring things happen where I was working with some folks that, you know, weren't really, their ethics were not in line with mine. They just weren't about the same kinds of things. And I worked with some people, men and women, who just were not helping types, were types that thought, hey, if I give you a piece of the pie, that's less of the pie for me, without realizing, hey, why don't we just get a bigger pie, and then everybody gets more, you know? I mean, so I had a lot of those experiences that made me go into this shell and this sort of bunker mentality that, hey, it's me against the world. This is war, and I got to fight and fight because I keep getting burned when I open, when I let myself be myself. And I didn't realize, well, that's just because I happen to be around the wrong people in the wrong kinds of environments. But that didn't mean that my whole career had to be like that, you know. And much like women that you hear that constantly get into abusive relationships, it seemed like I was constantly getting into these abusive kind of or at least exploitive work situations that were just very bad for me. And it really took me a long time to see. And because the money was coming and the titles were coming and the outward trappings of success were all there, you know, I'm driving a Benz and I've got a big house in Southern California and all these things are coming in. Yeah, but at what cost?
Such a really good point and such a really important question for us all to think about. So tell me, what does life look like for you now? And how has this changed, like, the heart and core of the message that you send out to the world?
Well, I think, you know, the heart, I reflected on this a lot about what exactly the heart and the core of my message is. And I think what I came to is that you can really be true to yourself. And you can learn to consistently communicate that truth to others, especially in your career. Because no matter who you are, there's things you can do. If you're growing your business, you can learn to use the media so you can get your message out there in a big way and you can reach out to more people. You know, if it's in your personal life, you can use the same thing. I mean, probably the second part of my message is that if you're not being true to yourself, then there will come a day when you won't get a choice. And you're going to be suffering somehow until you course correct. So the good news about that is you can always hop onto the right path. It's there right inside you. But you have to settle down enough to listen for it and stop running around like a crazy chicken like I did. You know, that's what my problem was I could not settle down and listen to what that inner wisdom.
Oh. That is so, so important. So tell me, what does your life look like now since you've made these changes?
Well, Vicki, it's like night and day. I mean, in fact, someone just asked my husband this, because who would know better than he would, because he's lived with me throughout all this. And he just said, you know, I have my wife back. He said, you know, and I feel that too. I feel like now I'm not afraid to let people know who I am. I'm not, you know, yeah, I know there's people that aren't going to like that. There's people maybe that think whatever they're going to think. It doesn't matter. You know, what other people think is their business, not mine. I have to just get about my business and know that I'm on the right path for me. This feels so much more free. I'm able to create my business how I want it. I'm attracting, you know, clients that I love to work with. And you know what, Vicki? When I have clients that I don't love to work with, they're not clients for long. Because I realize my life is too short. I was forced into too many of those kinds of relationships when I didn't have a choice, when I was answering to a boss. Well, now I answered, I'm the boss. And that's good, and it's not good, because the buck stops there. When things aren't going well, I have no one to look at but myself. And when things are going right, I can look at myself also and say, hey, I created this. I created this out of, like a phoenix rising out of the ashes, literally. Because, I mean, there was nothing but a mess 2 years ago. And now I've got this thing that's growing, and I'm just thrilled.
Wow, that is so incredible. And you have been on all sides of the media world, working with the best of the best, and now you're actually helping people to master the media and really make it their friend and be able to make that a viable outlet for them to just catapult their careers and their various endeavors in amazing directions. So tell me, how did you develop that powerful platform?
Well, you know, I've been preaching some variation of this for at least two decades in my career, but I think I really crystallized it down when I started my business a few years ago.
And how did that evolve? What did that look like?
I think it just came again out of seeing where there was lack, and not only in my world, but I realized that it was a symptom of something larger that really, I think, just happens in our society. And, I mean, a big thing that happens is people, particularly women, are afraid to let their voices be heard. And that translates into their business. And they hide. And they have a business, and they think to themselves, geez, I'd like to get publicity. But they let things get in their way so that they're intentionally hiding their own light. And you know that whole Marianne Williamson quote, and I don't know it by heart, but she basically says, you know, you serve no one by dulling your own light to make others feel better. That doesn't make anyone feel better. And when you actually let your light shine, which in this case, get your message out there, get it out there in a big way, you're giving other people permission to do the same. And what could be better? I mean, so enable to, with me being able to help people do that, it's a beautiful gift. I mean, that's part of what gives me the fulfillment and the satisfaction in what I'm doing.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And you have been so successful in getting your message out in a very magical way about what you do, and then helping others get their message out, which is what you do. You're a master at it. So tell me what you think are the most critical ingredients that make a message really magical.
Well, I'm going to tell you the secret sauce. I'm going to tell you the big secret, and that is, that is the number one thing that makes your message magical is that it has to resonate with your ideal audience, and it should always be about them, not about you. And that's usually the opposite of where people are coming from when they have something they want to tell. And, I mean, a lot goes into that. You have to first know who are your people, you know, get really clear on who is your ideal target audience. And then how do you reach them? Where are they? What media are they consuming? And then finally, you just need to give them what they need. Because when you're able to go in and solve that target's most pressing problem just at the time that they need your help, then your message becomes magical for them. You can change their lives. This is what I strive to do every day in my work. People think that getting interviewed on TV or radio or in a big magazine or Wall Street Journal, that it's some kind of magic privilege that only the elite get to have. But the truth is, once you know how to be mediagenic yourself, anyone can grab that spotlight and rock out that interview. It's just a learned skill. So there's really no magic involved, but once you master those ideas and you make it other-focused instead of me-focused, then you have really captured that magic.
Mm. Oh, is that just so, so important in the realm of any level of communication, and especially getting the message out there if you want it to really, really resonate and resonate in a big way. How has your message changed your life and the lives of others who you've worked with and who you've been involved with?
Well, I think that my message that anyone can learn to master the media has really changed my life and my clients' lives for sure, because people tend to come to me with a pressing need. I work with a lot of authors, and their need is to sell their book right away, and they're going on a TV or a radio media tour, or maybe they're an expert on some other topic. I've worked with a lot of physicians and other healthcare professionals who they're trying to build their brand so that they get known as the go-to person in that field, and they want to be somebody that the media will call. So once they kind of get the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, and they learn how to be mediagenic, then their message gets out there in a big way. And so instead of just communicating or marketing to people one-on-one or in a small conference, they now have the power to reach thousands or in some cases even millions of people all at once. And since we also work on creating messages that will move those big audiences to action, they net out with not only awareness of what they do, but also more people on their client list and more money, which is a big life changer. So, you know, I would say knowing that I can help people that way has really changed my life, because I can live my career on my terms. I can work the hours I want to work with the people I want to work with, have some balance in my life. I mean, heaven forbid, even get to actually see my friends and family, which didn't happen a lot when I was in corporate. And, you know, I'm giving the clients the tools to help them build their business and reach more people with that magical message. And I'm teaching them to do that with confidence, with poise, and sparkle. So I feel really fortunate and grateful that I can do that.
Oh, wow, that is so powerful. And, you know, in taking that and looking at how this might look, if you spread this out, because everything spreads out and ripples out, but if you were to see this rippling out across the world and really being your contribution, almost like a legacy, what would you like to see that inspiring in others on a really large perspective? How does that look for you?
Well, that's a great question. I would say that I hope that other people can understand that you don't have to be a supermodel and you don't have to be a natural-born extrovert to be able to score big with the media. I mean, I want people to know the media is out there. There's more of them than ever before, because I'm including online media here, and we know that just keeps growing. And they're all hungry for stories. But you do have to know how to deliver those stories in a way that they can use them. And that's a special kind of language. So I want people to see that this is learnable, and I also want them to see that winging it in media interviews is really a negative thing for them. It erodes their brand. It doesn't have a good effect on business. And, you know, what I said before about the gift of media being that you can reach many people at once, well, that gift is it's a double-edged sword, because if you do go on TV or radio and you bomb, you just bombed really big. And I just want people to know there's no reason for that. All you have to do is get the proper training, and you can be a media superstar too. You can be a leader in your field to whatever level you want to take that. There's people that are empire builders, and there's people who really just want to have a nice, solid career, whatever that means to them. And the media can help you accomplish any of those things. It's not just for the special people. You know, I guess I want people to know you can learn it. It's a learned skill. Just like the people that were just in the Olympics, they were not born knowing how to vault and run and, you know, do the balance beam and all those things. They trained for that, and that's why they got good at it. And it's just like that.
Oh, that is, again, so powerful. Such a powerful information for everyone to realize that that's within their grasp. And, you know, you've inspired so many people to be able to achieve that in such a big way. What, Deborah, inspires you?
Oh, so many things. Well, I'm most inspired by people who are really positive and happy and also kind and honest and who strive to do good in the world. I mean, I don't care if you're a multi-millionaire running a company or if you're a maid making minimum wage at a motel. You know, if you're giving it your all and you're looking for positive ways to contribute and you make it a priority to grow and learn all your life, then that to me is very inspirational. And I would say I'm also really inspired by nature. I walk along the beach, you know, looking out at the vastness of the ocean, and you just think about all the life that's teeming under there, and at night looking up at the stars and realizing every one of us is just a little tiny dot in this existence. But even as tiny dots, we can all make a difference through our kindness and our service to others. I mean, look at people, you know, these are other inspirational people that are great at their jobs or their vocations, and they spread positivity, like the Dalai Lama or Deepak Chopra or Oprah Winfrey, or, I mean, right on down to people that are closer to home, like my beautiful parents. These are two people who worked so hard. They had very little education. They did not have money. And they did this so that I could be the first member of our family to get a college degree and so that my sister and my brother and I could have a better life than they did. So I've been really blessed to have heroes all around me in my personal life and in business as well. And everybody's kind of inspired me in a different way. Even some of the more difficult characters I've known who I've mentioned, you know, they've inspired me too to try to move toward truth and love and away from fear and conflict.
Mm. Oh, I love that. I love that thought. It's such a beautiful thought and such a simple concept, that whole idea of moving away from fear and into love, regardless of what the circumstances are that you come across. And it's just a beautiful thought, and it inspires me in a huge way, Deborah. So tell me, what is an important tip or piece of wisdom or exercise that you either practice yourself or you share with your clients that really helps move them into action, this area of being able to bring their whole total self out and get known to the media and really realize their place in the world?
Sure. I would say the best tip I can give anyone who wants to be a better communicator, and you have to really be one to get anywhere in life, is to focus on the person you're talking to. Focus on the other person and listen twice as much as you talk in most cases. If you're really present, you can listen for how you can help that person. You want to find out what do they need from you and then give that to them. It's really simple, and this works whether you're in a TV interview or you're just talking with your spouse around the dinner table. It's really, people so infrequently do this that it's the greatest gift you can really give someone, is to listen to them and then focus on how you can help. I mean, just imagine how great the world would be if everybody did this for even just 1 week. It would be amazing.
Yes, it would. And that is such a powerful thought to leave with us. And I was wondering, I know because you've shared so much great information and fabulous wisdom today, there are a lot of people listening or reading that will want to learn more and be able to connect with you. Is there a website where they can do that, Deborah?
Yes, there is. If they go to www.communicationscopilot, and that's communications plural, communicationscopilot.com, there's several things there. For one, they can get some great freebies. I do have a little opt-in box on the upper right-hand side of the page, and I offer a free 3-part video training series. It's called The Top 10 Mistakes Authors and Experts Make on TV and Radio and How You Can Avoid Them. So you will get that free 3-part video training series. You'll also get on my e-zine list, which comes out every other week. And there's a bunch of tips in there just about media and publicity and all of these, you know, communications tips, like things that we've been talking about today. And a bunch of other little freebies that I just send out to my list periodically, because I just like to, some of these things are just, you know, I'll create something and it's just so good I want to share it to everybody. You know, it's something that I think people can really benefit from, and so I'll just kind of shoot that out to my list. So that's a good one to be on.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for the generosity of sharing all those gifts. And again, even more wisdom than what you shared today. I know that this was just the tip of the iceberg, what we had time for today. So again, your website is www.communicationscopilot.com. That's communications with an S, copilot.com. And I just hope everyone will take the advantage of being able to go and connect with you and learn even more from you, because this has just been a great, great experience and great spending time with you today. I've learned so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Vicki. It's been my pleasure.
Okay, and if anyone out there would like to learn more about Expert Insights, Family of Opportunity, our different outlets for media, including books and magazines and our communities, you can reach us at getei.com. That's getei.com. And again, Deborah, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. It's just been such a pleasure and such a great learning experience.
Thanks for having me, Vicki.